Hello and welcome to the Power Vertical Podcast. My name is Brian Whitmore, author of the Power Vertical blog and European desk editor here at RFERL. In the studio with me is Kirill Kobrin, managing editor of RFERL's Russian service. Kirill, thanks for being with us today.
Hello.
Today's topic, of course, is Putin 2.0. With Vladimir Putin set to return to the Kremlin in 2012 for possibly as many as 12 years, what can we expect?
I think it would be correct for the Congress to support the candidacy of the party chairman, Vladimir Putin, to the post of president of the country.
I would like to express my gratitude for the positive reaction to the proposal that I run for president of Russia. This is a great honor. Thank you. I'm counting on your support.
That was President Medvedev and Prime Minister Putin speaking at the United Russia Congress this weekend when it was announced that they would essentially switch positions in 2012, with Putin returning as president and Medvedev taking Putin's place as prime minister. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, there was some immediate fallout to Putin's announcement on Saturday that he intends to return to the presidency, with Medvedev becoming his prime minister. Alexei Kudrin, Russia's long-serving finance minister and somebody who's deeply trusted by the financial markets and by the West, said on Sunday that he would not serve in a government led by Medvedev. Today, Medvedev suggested that Kudrin resign if that's the case, sparking possibly a government crisis. Kudrin's stated reason was that he opposed Medvedev's plan to increase military spending by $65 billion over the next 3 years. But there appears to be more to it than that. Many expected that if Putin returned as president, Kudrin would be his prime minister, and perhaps he's angry that Medvedev was given the nod instead of him. Let's listen to political analyst Vladimir Pribilovsky talk about how many liberals in the ruling circle are now looking to Kudrin as their leader rather than Medvedev.
Over the past year, those seeking to keep Medvedev in power have become weakened. Moreover, some of them have focused their attention on Alexei Kudrin as the initiator of reform and change in opposition to the conservative group led by Sechin.
So, Kirill, what's going on here with Kudrin? Is this really a dispute over military spending, or is Kudrin angry he didn't get the prime minister's job? And more importantly, where does this appear to be going?
Nothing special is happening from my point of view. First of all, you have to understand all this atmosphere of disappointment which followed the statement of Medvedev and Putin about the next presidential elections and the candidacy of Vladimir Putin. Nearly everyone in liberal circles, almost everyone in so-called middle class is absolutely disappointed. It is very strange because at the same time everyone knew and still knows that all this plot with Medvedev as a president between two Putin's terms had been invented just to avoid the Russian constitution, and that's all. From some kind of, philosophical point of view, you know, there was a great Austrian and British philosopher, Ludwig Wittgenstein, who told that the task of the philosophy is not to invent the new things, but to put the old ones in a perfect order. So, in this sense, Putin and Medvedev are the followers of Wittgenstein. They just put the well-known things about their political positions, about their political plans and so on, in an absolutely perfect order to understand their intentions. And I can't understand all this disappointment about this. It's kind of hysterical reaction to this.
Do you think Kudrin's announcement on Sunday and the exchange between him and Medvedev today, do you think that that is a reflection of his disappointment that Medvedev's not staying on as president?
Yes, yes.
But his anger is directed against Medvedev. He's expressing opposition to Medvedev, not to Putin.
Yes, yes. In some sense, another thing we can add to our discussion. I remember all this thing that happened with Mikhail Prokhorov's political party.
Of course.
It was the same trick. Imagine you are Surkov, yes, this gray cardinal of Russian politics, and you invented some kind of liberal political party, a little bit oppositional, but not so far. Yes, and then you propose to some big figure like Mikhail Prokhorov to be a leader of this party, and then you steal his party, yes? The main aim of this trick is just to make funny all the idea of Russian liberalism, to show directly that there is no any possibility for Russian liberals to join their ranks and to organize, to make some kind of political movement and so on. What happened after that, now, with Medvedev and Kudrin now? It was just a gesture to show that there is no way of this kind of thinking in Russian society, yes? There is no any hope that there will be some kind of liberal or democratic or pro-democracy opposition inside Kremlin. It's very important, inside Kremlin. And there could be a lot of interpretations of Kudrin's behavior on Sunday and today with all this exchange of angry words with President Medvedev. You can tell that it's a part of some kind of a very clever, sophisticated plot made by Surkov.
Although this does not look to be that. Yes. That does not appear to be the case.
Yes.
I mean, Kudrin and Surkov famously don't get along. And Kudrin made his comments that he would not serve as finance minister under Medvedev as prime minister. He made these comments in Washington on Sunday. It doesn't look to me like something that was organized by Surkov. Is a brilliant political strategist, but this is even beyond his abilities, I think. This looks real to me.
Yes, it's if some kind of psychological effects we can name as a real or as a reality. Yes, in political sense of this word, yeah? Anyway, this could be a part of this sophisticated political plot managed by Surkov. It could be some hysterical disappointment from Kudrin and Medvedev and so on. This could be some gesture of Kudrin and his intention to become a new, brand new political opposition leader like it was with Kasyanov and so on. But in any case, there is no any possibility of a real political struggle inside Kremlin. The real opposition could be just, first of all, outside Kremlin, and secondly, connected with the real interests of the Russian population.
But we have a very, very real situation right here, and I'll spell it out. I mean, you have Alexei Kudrin has been the Russian finance minister for 11 years. He's trusted by the financial markets. He's trusted by the West. He's seen as the architect of Russia's macroeconomic stability, and that is one achievement that Russia, it's thanks largely to high oil prices, but it's also thanks largely to smart economic management, largely on Kudrin's part. You have that person who is a central figure in the government right now, in the middle of a global economic crisis, saying he will not serve under Medvedev. And Medvedev is saying, okay, then you can resign. This is a very, very, very real situation from where I'm sitting. It could turn into a government crisis. Don't you think?
We are discussing the situation with the help of common sense. I think that this last events of the last 2-3 months show that there is kind of this sense of reality inside Kremlin is weakened. Yes, just weakened, because they even don't understand how the population, Russian society, or the West look at this everything that they show them on TV screens and so on. Secondly, as I told you, and I read a lot of web blogs, articles in newspapers and so on for last 2 days, yes? And I can say, really, almost everyone is disappointed by this. We can discuss kind of strange illusion about that the Medvedev will be a new liberal president and so on, but we are now discussing not the consciousness, public consciousness in Russia. We are discussing what goes on inside Kremlin. And then they should know that this kind of reaction will be after all these events.
You think they saw this coming with Kudrin?
Yes, I think so. There are some very serious, very grave political mistakes. It's a long series of political mistakes made by Kremlin from the beginning of all this political circle, beginning from this Mikhail Prokhorov's case and till now. Of course, I think it will not damage the election campaign, of course, because it's not a real election campaign, electoral campaign.
Doesn't matter how people vote, it matters how they count.
Yes. But we are speaking about the political situation. It's very strange that the elections and political situation are two different things in Russia.
In fact, they are.
And that's why we are discussing not the elections. Yes, we are discussing the political situation in Russia and the public consciousness and what do they think, what do they think inside Kremlin?
Where do you see this going, though? Now, I mean, Kudrin, in the last bit of news right before we got into the studio, Medvedev said to Kudrin that he should make a decision by the end of the day whether he's going to resign or not. If you have problems with me as prime minister, you should resign. Mm-hmm. He's not the prime minister yet. Kudrin said, I will consult with Putin. I'll consult with the prime minister. Medvedev said, you can consult whomever you want, but I'm the president still, and I make these decisions. That's actually not accurate. Because only the president was wrong.
Yes.
Only the prime minister could fire ministers. The president can fire the entire government, which is highly unlikely because that would mean that Medvedev would have to fire Putin, which would be a pretty serious crisis.
Only foreign minister and defense minister.
Foreign and defense report to the president. But where do you see this going? What does Putin do? Does Putin come out in support of Medvedev or does he come out in support of Kudrin?
I think Kudrin will resign.
You do.
I am absolutely sure. Of course, we can bet now.
We could bet. You could very well be right, but the effect that would have on financial markets could be devastating in this economic environment.
That's why I told you that this sense of reality is weakened inside Kremlin. This game is too deep to understand it from the point of view of common sense and the interests of Russian economy.
Do you include Kudrin in that? Because he seems to be the one person in the Kremlin who does have a grip on reality because he's dealing with the financial situation.
Yes, but if he will resign tomorrow, for instance, he can say everything that he wants now, today. And after that, after his commands and his resignation will sparkle some kind of economical or, I don't know, financial crisis in Russia, he could say after that I was right.
Yeah, it's a hell of a strong way to make your point, I guess. A costly way to make your point.
Yes, but in this case, he can become a next prime minister.
Mm. And that you think that's his end game right now?
I think in some sense, it's a combination of various factors, of some psychological reactions, of disappointment, and so on. And second part of this is it's not a plot, but it's a kind of intention. Mm-hmm. Yes, that you can't cope the situation without me. Try to do something. Yes, okay, try.
All right, well, this is developing rather quickly, even as we speak, so it was impossible to even ignore it today as we get into the discussion we intended to have, but this is all related. The next thing I wanted to talk about are that there's really two metaphors that have emerged in the 2 days since this announcement came out about Putin returning to the Kremlin and Medvedev becoming prime minister. The metaphor of Putin as Pyotr Stolypin the early 20th century reformist modernizing prime minister. And the other one is Putin as Leonid Brezhnev. Putin's allies, of course, say now freed from the constraints of politics and the need to run for re-election and with a 6-year term and probably two of them, he'll be free to pursue bold reforms and become a modernizing leader in the image of Stolypin, who incidentally Putin deeply admires. His critics note that should Putin serve 2 6-year terms, he'll end up being president longer than Brezhnev was Soviet leader. Brezhnev was Soviet leader for 18 years. Putin would, if he serves 2 6-year terms, would have been formally president for 20 years. And if you add the 4 years when he was de facto president during Medvedev's presidency, that's 24 years. That's longer than anybody since Joseph Stalin. That's an incredibly long time to be in power. And this is a recipe in a lot of people's minds for stagnation, for ossification, and for a whole repeat of the period of Zastoy, which from the late 70s. Over the weekend, I spoke to Edward Lucas, a longtime Russia watcher who is now the international editor of the British weekly The Economist, author of The New Cold War. To put it mildly, Ed was pretty skeptical about the prospects for Putin as a reformer. Let's listen, Ed.
No leader in Russian history has had such a fortunate combination of circumstances of immense popularity and unlimited money and really strong levers of power. So he had from 2000 to 2008, before the financial crisis hit, he really had extraordinary, and if he told Russians, they all have to sort of paint their hair blue and go on roller skates, they'd have done it. You know, if he said this is what we know. So there was if he didn't do it then, I'm not sure he's going to do it now. So I think the Brezhnev analogy is quite a serious one. Obviously, he's not Brezhnev in that he's physically fitter. It's not a police state. It's not a planned economy. But that feeling of corruption and it will be an incompetence will be very strong.
I wonder if it is true that if Putin had asked Russians to paint their hair blue and ride around on roller skates, if they would have done it. I don't know. What do you think?
as a trained historian, I strongly oppose any analogies when we're discussing the modern contemporary politics, whatever, because modern Russia is not USSR in all the senses, not. Another economy, another society, another political system, another psychology. It's very interesting. Modern Russia doesn't have its ideology. Doesn't have. And you can't describe the post-Soviet society as a kind of Soviet or some USSR, back to USSR and so on. Because first of all, modern Russian society is absolutely lack any ideologies. Secondly, it has a market economy. You can name it with some other terms and so on, but it's a market economy. Yes, like Chinese, like South Korean, like whatever we have. Just market economy has various forms and so on, and the liberal one isn't the only one in the world. Thirdly, United Russia isn't Communist Party of Soviet Union. It hasn't, again, the ideological basis. It isn't a real political party, really. And moreover, it hasn't strong leaders, because Putin and whatever, Medvedev, they are not party leaders. Yes. And the combination of these three factors already is telling us that there is not a situation of some kind of new brand, old-style Brezhnev. Yes?
Well, I think the Brezhnev analogy comes from, and you're right to point out all these differences, and yes, modern Russia is very different from the Soviet Union. United Russia isn't the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. And Putin certainly isn't Brezhnev in terms of he is much more physically fit, as Ed pointed out, and he has his full mental capacity right now, which Brezhnev certainly didn't have towards the end of his time in power. But when any leader in any country is in power for that long, 24 years or 20, depending on how you want to count it, that is the longest time anybody's been in power in Russia since Stalin. And that when you have that, you have the possibility of stagnation. Now, I know in the Russian context, the word for stagnation, zastoy, brings up these images of Brezhnev, but it's in the really sense of what the word means, you have this, you do run this risk. So is there this risk that Russia could stagnate if Putin stays in power this long?
Russia is already stagnating now, just now. So the process will worsen, of course, in the future with Putin the president first or third president term and the fourth maybe president term and so on. But anyway, if you want to compare modern Russia and this story with Putin's third and fourth term, we can compare it to Latin American dictatorships. It's a better way than to think about Brezhnev and Soviet times and so on. Remember Castro. Remember all these Latin American dictators, whatever, left, right, or the situation of the authoritarian regime with its control over the best part of economy, with its control on the political life and so on, will bring the society, first of all, not the state, but the society into the stagnation and the economy and the state into the condition of just rotten. That is true. And that's why I'm strongly against all these comparisons with Brezhnev or Nicholas the First.
What about Stalin? Let's go to the positive analogy. Let's go to the positive metaphor and talk about Stolypin. I mean, let's not talk about Stolypin, but let's talk about the metaphor is Putin the great modernizing reformer. Now, is that fanciful? Is that realistic that Putin could actually surprise everybody and turn out in his third and fourth terms?
If Putin wanted to surprise anyone, he already could do this in his previous terms. No. First of all, for me, Stolypin is not a very great example of a good...
Well, he certainly didn't end well.
Yes. He tried to reform Russian agricultural sphere and all this situation with the land reforms and so on. He tried to do this. But don't remember, he was killed.
Yes.
He was murdered.
Yes, in the Kiev Opera House.
Yes, and he was murdered by the agent of Russian secret police. Don't forget about this. And he was not the Tsar. He was just a prime minister. And he hadn't a strong support from Nicholas II and all his circle. So it's absolutely another situation, and we can't compare it. As for Putin, who can surprise anyone, of course he could surprise anyone, but not with reforms or something especially interesting.
Most analysts agree that Putin's going to have little choice but to pursue some economic reforms. There's going to have to be social reforms.
He has to cut some very important things in the welfare part of the budget and so on. Of course, these measures will be absolutely unpopular among the population, and include the corruption and so on, and comparing the cuts in education and medicine and so on, and the corruption outside Kremlin or in Sochi Olympic Games and so on, of course, population will be angry about this. That's why Putin wants to have a liberal prime minister. Because he will be the scapegoat of this situation, and he will be fired in 1 or 2 years. Mm. It could be Medvedev, it could be Kudrin, it could be whatever. I thought it could be Mikhail Prokhorov,
yes.
And still is. I think still is.
I don't know about now.
Who knows? But anyway, it's not the idea of real reforms. They try to save somehow the budget, of course. Yes, they have some kind of understanding what goes on with Russian economy and financial situation and so on. But it's not about what to do, but first of all, how to do and what is the aim. Mm-hmm. just to fill the gap or to promote some progressive or liberal ideas in the economy. And so.
Do you think the whole modernization agenda, the idea of diversifying Russia's economy to get it away from its dependence on commodities and energy, do you think that that is dead now?
It was dead just in the process of
dead on arrival.
Yes,
yes.
Yes, it's for all these people. It's necessary rubbish. They need to tell something about the future and so on, because society can live without so-called image of future. Yes, and it was a very useful thing to have contact with some kind of liberal intelligentsia, with middle class in Russia and so on, to give them the toy, something to play with. Yes, and this modernization, it was this toy. But now they don't need the support from this part of Russian society. Who knows, maybe in 1 or 2 years they will return to this idea. Mm-hmm. But now anyone understands that it was absolutely rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Now, one question that needs to be asked is, what if things go wrong, right? During Putin's first stint in the Kremlin, he had very, very favorable economic environment due to high oil prices. He was essentially able to buy off the population with high living standards, right? You give up your political freedoms, we provide you rising living standards. Everybody seemed to like that then. Today, the situation is different. Russia today is not the Russia of a decade ago. It's not even the Russia of 5 years ago. The economy is not nearly as favorable. Oil prices are falling. Russia's facing a budget squeeze in the coming years, as you point out. And the population, fueled by the rise of social media, blogs, the internet, what have you, is becoming, and by the fact that they're getting wealthier. And when you get wealthier, you begin to want your political rights. The population is becoming increasingly assertive. Now, let's listen to how Ed Lucas frames this.
My big question in this is, what happens if things start going wrong, that the regime has lost a lot of its, the sinews of power are weakening on the whole, I think, and it's that they seem genuinely scared by any mass public protests or anything like that. And so if you've got unrest or some big deterioration in the external environment, which way would they go? Would they be forced into a kind of new era of glasnost and perestroika reform, a sort of repeat of what we had in Russia in the Soviet Union in the 1980s, or would we go down a sort of more Andropov line and in towards more repression?
Now, it's no secret that in addition to admiring Stolypin, Vladimir Putin is also a big admirer of Yuri Andropov. He's made no secret of this throughout his career. How do you expect him to react if things go bad, which they might very well go? We're in the midst of a global financial crisis right now that can go in very unpredictable directions. If you pose Ed's question of, or another perestroika or another Andropov, I know you don't like these historical analogies from the Soviet Union, but, reform or repression, how do you see things going if things turn bad?
I think sometimes in the future, some experts or historians who will speak about this Putin period, they will divide the two scenarios of Putin's authoritarian regime. First scenario is Pinochet scenario. It was in the beginning of notice, yes? Mm. And the second one is Andropov scenario. It is beginning just now. Yes, don't forget that Andropov's rule was one of the worst in the Soviet history. One of the worst.
He wasn't in power that long.
Yes, but I remember that. Yeah, I lived in USSR. Yeah. Just the first steps of his rule in the first just in the first weeks were so stupid. It was so funny from the public point of view. Only if you are the officer of KGB, you can admire Andropov. No one really can think of him seriously. Yes, and speaking seriously now, don't forget the result of Andropov's years, of Andropov one and a year and a half. Yes, I remember something. something about this. Yes, it was there after a brief rule of Chernenko. Yes, then was Gorbachev, and after that, absolutely disaster, absolute disaster and collapse. And I think that this disastrous scenario, I'm very sorry, but it's the most possible thing that Russian society could wait from the new Putin's
You think this is the most likely?
Yes, I think so. I'd like to make a mistake about this, yes, and so on. Yeah, but as I understand that it's kind of now Putin and Medvedev, yes, they don't have real friends now inside the society and outside Russia. Don't forget about it. Yes, they don't have a kind of foundation, social support. Remember the beginning of Putin's rule. He had an overwhelming public support in first two, three,
you
four
don't think
years.
He has support now?
No, I think no, because, of course, it's not an kind of opposition or angry position against him. No, of course not, but it's a disappointment. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a disappointment and apathy. Apathy, political apathy. And if no one is interested in the political process in Russia, for instance, in elections, in the elections and so on, in this case, everything that could happen there in Kremlin and so on, it's not interesting for the society. And that is the worst thing. Yeah, so the main outcome of this situation could be that if something will happen in Kremlin, there will be no any people who will be interested in this.
So you think the most likely scenario is not social protests, but mass social apathy?
Apathy. And don't forget about...
That sounds like the Brezhnev period.
Yes, and don't forget, if you like this political or historical analogies, don't forget about fall of Russian Empire. A Russian Empire, this power, world power, yes, fell in 1917 for 3 days. It's not because it was kind of a mighty plot against it or some revolution and so on. It fell just because no one was interested in this existence.
Well, World War One helped a little bit too.
Yes, but not very strongly. Yeah.
Well, I hate to finish the program on a pessimistic note.
Everything will be okay.
But that's all we have time for today. Just to remind you, you've been listening to the Power Vertical podcast. I'm Brian Whitmore, author of the Power Vertical blog. In the studio with me was Kirill Kobrin, managing editor of RFERL's Russian service. Kirill, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And just a reminder, you can see the Power Vertical blog, you can read the Power Vertical blog at RFERL.org, or you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thepowervertical. And I'll leave you now with the music of Noise MC.